You're listening to STP Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of STP Radio, where we get to talk to all sorts of cool people in the STP community. And particularly joining me today is Brad Johnson, the VP of Product Marketing and Business Development at SoSta. And Brad, how are you?
I'm great, Mark. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, it's always good. Our last conversation was really kind of cool because we were digging into what you were presenting even in Denver. But now we have a whole new sponsorship coming for STPCon 2015. So thank you very much for that. And I'd like to talk more about what's really happening at SoSta in 2015. So as folks end up coming into the conference, they'll kind of get an idea as to what's hot and cool and exciting in the SoSta world.
Sure. And super excited to be sponsoring STP again and, you know, stepping up just because we really see the whole STP community stepping up. So we just want to make sure we are right there with this vibrant community as it grows.
As we grow and grow.
That's very good. For sure.
Yes. And speaking of that, so to dig into, I noticed this big thing in SoSta. And SoSta has been around since, what, maybe it's got to be 7-8 years now almost? And, you know, with a recent change, I think it was around January, we saw this great new tagline, which is performance is everything. Now, you're talking to a performance geek myself, so I already know that performance is everything.
Of course, right?
but I have sort of a technical view of why that is a reality and what's happening with technology and stuff. But how did you guys, what was behind kind of the choice, your choice, to bring this new idea, this new message into this new year in particular for SoSta?
Well, you know what? That's a great segue because, we started, invented cloud testing, in fact, in 2008 when cloud computing came out. And so, you know, as a load testing platform that's evolved into lots of different things, but when you break out of this tech world that we all live in and start talking about what our customers or our company's end users are focused on, they don't make a distinction between latency or functionality or security, right? They look at everything as performance. And so as we look at user expectations in and around technology, performance is everything because how fast things are, how rapidly you get results, how easy it is to navigate through an interface is what all businesses are concerned about optimizing for their end users. So we're boiling it down to how does an end user look at their experience in any system? And by the way, the expectations from their home browser and their work interface and their mobile browser and their tablet really is becoming, you know, the expectation is becoming that they all should be the same. And so we've really taken it from a end user performance, or I'm sorry, an end user perspective that performance is everything, right? If this app doesn't perform well, I have options. And so as we talk to our customers who are optimizing these experiences for their customers, it's just resonated that, you know, performance is everything. So let's figure out how do we optimize performance? How do we make it a continuous approach?
Was there an experience that came as you guys introduced touch test and really entered into more functional automation as well as the functional testing realm where functional and performance start to overlap?
Yeah,
and is that kind of where the blend, hey guys, as we can't think about functional without thinking about performance. You can't think about performance without thinking about functional.
Yeah, that's a perfect you know, entry into exactly what we've seen. So when you talk about functional testing, for instance, right? Very traditionally, if you think about functional testing all the way back to client server days, and I would imagine that 80% of the listeners don't even remember that.
Maybe not.
you know, functionality was simply, you know, does it work? Yep. Does it work right? Right? Is this button, you know, does it deliver the right results? And, you know, do I get a fail when I try to put numbers where they're supposed to be letters, right? Functionality was pretty well defined. Mobile changes everything. And so as soon as we got into the mobile test automation space 3 years ago and started talking about mobile test automation, the intersection of performance on the functionality of an application became critical. So when you look at, now I want to make sure that when I input a piece of data into a UI on a native mobile device, and the response for that data is dependent on a back end, which most mobile apps are today, and almost every enterprise mobile app is.
Certainly.
Functionality is not necessarily just did I get the result back, right? It's how quickly did I get the result back. So not only do I have to make sure that the results appear in the UI correctly,
yeah,
I have to make sure that when the back end is saturated with users, my functional user experience isn't affected.
Isn't compromised by increased latency in one particular component or something like that.
Correct. So exactly. So my mobile testing, my mobile functional testing must include what's the impact of performance, what's the impact of latency on that functional test. So we're seeing a lot more people creating really, really, you know, hybrid tests that allow you to measure both those things at the same time.
Right. And so to some extent, like you say, it's been about 3 years for touch test and really bringing cloud test and touch test together, and the experience in the industry being, well, we've really got this great functional stuff. We really have this great performance stuff in the Sosta suite. The idea then in 2015 is that there's some really cool new things coming where people are like, now I'm ready. I can see this overlap. I can see it happening. If you can share a little bit of what are the hot, cool things that you're seeing that Sosta is going to be going after this year?
Yeah, well, it's very interesting because Sosta has been in the middle of cloud computing, mobile, you know, the evolution of mobile development and mobile applications and big data.
Right.
And, you know, so as a marketing guy, it's kind of a dream and a bane of my existence because we are truly a cloud computing, mobile, big data company. But none of those at the end of the day are why customers, you know, come to Sosta with their problems.
Right.
Those things are how we solve the problems. What cloud test users quickly realize is that the secret to what we do in load testing, which is any scale, distributed users, and real-time information, the secret to that is this in-memory analytics engine that we've had from the beginning of our company.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, it's been there, you know, through four companies of our entire engineering team because that's what they specialize in. So we have big data scientists who've built a performance-oriented analytics platform.
Right.
And that powers cloud test. It also powers touch test. And it enables us to, you know, rapidly analyze what's going on during a functional test.
Right.
And then 2 years ago, or a little more than 2 years ago, we brought real user measurement to market. Mm-hmm. And again, it lived right on top of that analysis engine. And so the things that so number one, we've always been a big data company because getting end-to-end performance results to your eyeballs in 3 seconds during a load test required big data analytics, right?
Yeah.
So when we coupled that with our real user measurement product and started collecting data, we very quickly realized that we needed not only this real-time capability, we needed the ability to dig into this terabytes of data that's being collected to come to some business conclusions. So one of the most exciting things we brought out this year was a capability for that we call Data Science Workbench. And what Data Science Workbench enables is companies to look at every piece of real user measurement data in addition to all kinds of third-party data sources like from Telium or maybe Google Analytics,
right,
maybe other third-party sources, and come up with questions for the Data Science Workbench to answer. And some of the best answers we've received are from that data are, what's the value of a millisecond? And so when you look at, let's say you're looking at, I'd use one of our, essentially every one of the top 25 retailers have abandoned what they've been using or added to what they've been using to get insight about their real users over the last 2 years. So we've got, you know, great cross-section of retailers and financial services and other companies. And so one of these retailers was trying to figure out, well, where in the world do I optimize for performance, right? And so what they looked at is, well, okay, I noticed that, you know, in one particular region of the country, my bounce rate is okay at whatever it was, 3 seconds.
Sure.
But in another segment of the country, I have users abandoning their, or bouncing off the site or abandoning their transactions at 2.9 seconds. And so okay, I should probably focus on optimizing right there. But I'm looking at 1/10 of a second, right?
Yeah.
And how do I determine, is that worth anything? Well, if you have all of the data and you have, business knowledge about, how much is the value of a transaction, right? And then, so if you're losing X number of transactions per second, well, you'll have a good idea of what the value of that second is, and much in this case, what's the value of 1/10 of a second.
Sure.
Well, these guys were actually able to quantify the value of that 1/10 of a second to that set of users to about $80 million a year.
Oh my God.
So that's the kind of question you get answered when you have all of the data. So that's what that's what the data that's collected from real users can provide you.
Yeah,
we're definitely focused there.
You can imagine, if you're a longtime load tester and you don't have that financial concept within not only your brain while you're doing your testing, it's not in your objectives. It's rarely in the specifications or requirements that you're headed in your test objectives. I think at the same time you're connecting the circles between RUM and pre-production or even production cloud tests. So cloud tests and the data science workbench, the RUM part, Impulse, so that they're being brought together into that common analytics repository. So you can not miss out on the opportunity of, well, I ran my little test, but I have no idea what the numbers are for the impact of the business.
Exactly. And I don't think you've heard this, but this is something that I think it should be, hopefully it's going to make repercussions through the load testing industry. Mm-hmm. We have made real user measurement a feature of cloud test.
It's built in.
So it's essentially included with your cloud test entitlement, right? So whether you're an on-demand customer where we run the test for you,
right,
or whether you're running cloud test in your own data center, or we're hosting it for you, whatever,
yeah,
Impulse is included. And the reason being is that one of the first use cases that we've developed for our data science workbench is a performance test plan. So what RUM allows you to do is identify your peak second. And one thing that I think you'll like as a performance geek is, one thing we validated through the last holiday season is that many of our customers had peak hours and peak minutes that were different from the time period when they had their peak second.
Oh, yes.
And so, some had peak seconds in the U.S. on Thanksgiving, right?
Yep.
And while they had peak hours and peak minutes the day after on Black Friday.
Yep.
What we do by including Impulse is, it's very simple. Let's say you're going to run a test and you've never done real user monitoring. Well, if you got a test planned for 2 weeks out or 3 weeks out,
mm-hmm,
we want you to get a beacon implemented on your website now. And what you'll then collect are... What are your most common browsers? What are your most common means of mobile access? What are your most critical regions? Where are your peak seconds of traffic? What are your peak, which are your key click paths through your site?
Yep.
And to that point, I want to make one of the, I'm going to probably give a bunch of guys a bunch of ideas right now. we discovered through the retail season, there was a massively untested click path on many retail sites. And maybe I'll quiz you. What do you think it was? Every retail site has a click path with just a couple clicks that turned out to be 40 or 50% of the traffic on many retail sites.
You got me. We went down the customer support angle. We went down like store locations.
Yeah. Okay. I may be giving up something here. It is go to cart and check out.
Just jump directly to the cart.
Right. Because we've been there before.
Oh, there you go.
Right. I filled my cart a week ago. And now I've done my comparison shopping. I've done everything else I wanted to do. Now I'm just going to go right back to that site, go right to my cart and buy.
Yeah. James and I actually observed something similar in this, where we're talking about sites that did not have a favorites, a wish list kind of functionality that you, the only place you would keep to remember, oh, I found that, is to throw it in a cart and it's a persistent cart. And, you know, we always discourage the use of a persistent cart, but here's the behavior. They use it like to remember what they want and they'll come back and check out.
Yeah, and here's what's funny. And this is a classic example of disconnect between the business and technology teams is that the marketing teams absolutely know that people go to the cart. Because they will try to add things that the customer, you know, that are associated with things in the cart and all kinds of stuff. But the test teams are not optimizing for the most important click path that most users use. So by including and capturing that RUM information, you can then create a test plan that directly reflects reality. Yeah. Right. And at the end of the day, and you get it from one source, right? So there's a, you know, ton of smart performance engineers out there, and they'll go to, you know, old Omniture data, you know, they'll go to marketing and wrestle with marketing to get some kind of information about what real users are doing or what users are doing. They'll go mine log files. They'll go to four or five different locations, spend a long time building a test plan, you know, and then, and but actually, I don't know what you think, but our experience is a test plan that really isn't fully vetted and agreed upon by everybody. Well, if it's what really happens in real production, how can anybody argue? So by including real user monitoring as part of your testing, you know, you're assured that your test plans, or at least a set of your test plans, you know, are super accurate and connected to reality. And our next step, of course, is automating that whole process. So you push a button and you have a new test plan. So that's what's happening this year.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the upcoming conference. I know you're giving a keynote just briefly, and there's a couple different things you have as a session and a keynote and stuff. So maybe tell us a little bit, you know, what you're excited about to give a talk on. I think it's called the Measures of Quality.
Yes, right? I'm excited because I'm excited to be provocative, right? You know, I've been in this industry, in this space a long time. So sometimes I feel like I can get away with calling people, you know, calling things in our industry when they need to be called out. And, you know, I frankly have been amused and annoyed at some of the discussions around metrics as of late.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end of the day, as a vendor, an evil vendor, right?
You're more than a vendor to me, to us.
That's good. Thank you for making me feel
of course,
like more than that. But the point is back to actually to the point of, you know, Sosta's repositioning for this year, right? The measures of quality need to be considered outside of the box we live in as testers and developers, right? So the earlier point I made about functional and performance intersection, right? There's no, you know, when you go talk to a consumer of the website that you may very well be coding for or testing for, you know, they have no concept of the technical terms you're going to lay out there, right? About well, let me start and you know, right at the beginning, you know, they don't care about bug burn down rates, right? They don't care about, you know, how many bugs escaped into production or not. They don't care about, like I said earlier, security or functionality. And then when you then kind of move to the business stakeholders for whom we are providing our development and testing services at the end of the day, they also don't care about those things. You know, they care about what's the productivity of the engineering organization. They care about what's the rating of our web property, you know, in relation to our competitors.
Right.
They care about how much revenue did that latency outage just cost us.
Right.
Right. So my talk is going to be about the measures of quality more from a layperson's perspective and how as testers, developers, operations people, we need to get way better at being able to quantify the value of our day-to-day work to the people that are actually signing our paychecks. So right. I think that will be mildly provocative, but I think it'll be also mildly illuminating. And by the way, it's how Sosta is talking to our customers. So I'm just using, you know, our way of, you know, helping to let you know, CIOs and CMOs and heads of IT understand, you know, what is automation going to bring you?
Yeah.
Why would you change the way you monitor and start looking at real users? Why would you, you know, why would you consider, frankly, outsourcing your load testing, right? All kinds of things that when we go and sell, we have to understand. So I think it's important for me to share that with the SDP team.
Good for you. I think that's great. And especially understanding that your role as an engineer in any capacity is usually about communicating the pros and cons, the risks and rewards, and of course, the value of what you do.
Right.
And beyond being just, you know, the master of a given tool or a given piece of technology, and be provocative, you know. Make a little stink. Now, you're also doing a repeat session of the really famous, it was a, if no one was there in Denver, it's a standing room only, Jane, get me off this crazy thing, which I love that title.
Yeah,
so I'm glad you're repeating it. What was so cool about that session that it was a standing room only?
Well, I'd like to think that it was, you know, all the people that remembered the Jetsons, but I'm not sure that did it, right?
Not just that. Yeah, exactly.
So it might have been just, what is this silly title all about? But what it focuses on is getting to a continuous delivery mode with testing and where automation fits, what continuous integration is and means. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite topics is continuous performance testing.
Right.
And frankly, over the last year and a half, I've seen huge interest and uptake and adoption of it. And it's, you know, people don't really even know what that means, right? It's essentially, you know, getting load testing earlier into development so that, you know, scalability is built right in. And we're not always in this crazy thing, which is the revolving, you know, escalator or whatever that, you know, we're always, you know, running to the top and running to the bottom. How do you get to a continuous approach where automation and testing is part of an agile process, and you start to be able to free up some time to do better testing, to do better test planning, to actually do better collaborative type of things versus just responding to, okay, we need to run another test. And by the way, we're agile, but testing's not, so please hurry.
Yeah.
Right. So it's really looking at that problem and trying to see where are the little pieces that you can begin to make changes and ultimately, you know, head to an iterative approach that matches what, frankly, development is also doing.
Mm-hmm. And if you've got, if in the Michael Bolton world of you know, manual checking, mm-hmm. versus, you know, I think to the scholars that are grown up in testing, looking at, you can never really automate manual testing. You can automate manual checking.
Great point.
And to that point, what a lot of people do think, this is crazy. We can't get told. You mean you're going to release that code and I never even, quote unquote, touched it?
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, all the tests and checks that you have automated to go into the process, you're going to automate them and they just run by default. And you know, there you go.
No,
and so
right.
It can seem really crazy to a lot of folks that until they find, there's always a point I see when the light bulb goes off and they're like, oh, I get it. So now all those repeated checks that I just get bored with doing all day long every day, that are not really exciting and fun, I don't have to do them anymore.
And
they're getting done automatically.
Yeah. And I think you've hit on a point that I know that Michael Bolton and others in his camp would agree with, right? And this is where, you know, I'm not one to say that you'll ever automate everything, because you can't. There's human subjectivity that comes into play very frequently. Mm-hmm. But anytime you're running a check, and I agree with that terminology, more than three times, and you're confident that it's not going to change, you are wasting human intellect and wasting time.
Yeah.
And if you don't have an imminent plan to automate that, there's something wrong with your process, right? You know, that's where we're at. And you know, mobile is the greatest example of if you can't figure out when and how to automate as soon as possible, you will always be a serious bottleneck. And frankly, Mark, we're seeing companies completely usurp the testing process because of those delays. And so
because of that perception from management is if I try to go and do full testing, I'm always looking for a way out of that bottleneck in the process.
Yeah. And that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother talk, time, or how do you, reduce the likelihood that you know, you are becoming irrelevant.
Right.
Right. So we need to, that is a definitely another topic that for another day.
Very cool. So those are both the keynote and the session are really great, but there's some other cool things coming from SOSTA, again, along with the extracurricular activities, I guess we'll call them, during the conference. And,
yeah,
and really an awesome deal if somebody wants to jump in and become a cloud testista. Is that would be the right word?
That's a good one. Thanks for coining that one. Give you a quarter, 50 cents for that,
50
Mark.
Cents for that terrible terminology. But people can actually jump into the cloud test. There's some certification classes and some ways people can, at the conference, really get involved. So what is that about?
Yeah, this is super exciting. You know, we have developed SOSTA University. We've got, you know, a couple hundred certified load testers of our platform out there, you know, today. And what that means is they've gone through a fundamentals level, and there's advanced training as well for what we call, you know, cloud testing fundamentals. And at the end of the day, this is the new generation of load testing, Mark.
Right.
And so we're bringing some of our best instructors down to STPCon for Monday and Tuesday, and they're going to run, only a mildly abbreviated course. It's usually a 3-day course, which includes lots of exam time. And we're not going to include the exam time in this course. So we're putting everything you need to know to get started with cloud testing into 2 days. You know, on the surface, it's $100 extra for 2 days of training, which we usually charge about $895 for. Oh, so it's a good value.
That's amazing.
It's good. And when you're done, you will be prepared, assuming you are, you know, you followed along and done what you need to do to take the test. And we're going to waive the price of the test, too. So feasibly, you could get SOSTA Cloud Test certified for $100.
That's pretty amazing.
But
wait, there's more. A set of Ginzu knives.
So what we're offering is both a discount from STP, a discount from SAP to make the STP to make the certification plus the STP conference cheaper, or the best deal you could possibly get is by using a SOSTA discount code when you sign in. So if you just want to go to the show and you use SOSTA Cert S15, so that's all caps SOASTACERT. S15.
Yep.
You'll get into the STP con for $995. And I highly encourage, because I'm talking about it, if you want to participate in the certification program, use the same code, choose package K, and you get in the show plus the 2 days of certification for $1,095. So currently that's the best deal to get into STP con, period. And so want people to take advantage of that. You know, we are asking, once you sign up for the SOSTA certification, you show up because we're making a big investment to get people there.
Yeah.
And there's a few prerequisites. They're listed on the website, on the SOSTA, the STPCon website.
Yeah.
You know, but don't be intimidated. If you want to get into load testing, you know, this is a great opportunity to get to certified status.
That's amazing. In fact, I've not heard of anything at that level of including and getting certified on a leading tool in the industry in my career. So thank you. That's really, really cool. So you would just head out to the STPCon website under the pricing page. So pricing-spring2015. Look down there on the new packages for SOSTA J and SOSTA K. There's the K package there.
Yep, and there's also a write up of the package on the STPCon website as well.
Cool. So awesome. So Brad, thanks for joining me. Maybe we can share kind of the basics of how people can get on board and follow what's happening with SOSTA. I even forget sometimes the Twitter handle is Cloud Test. It's not SOSTA. SOSTA is some weird other thing. I have no idea what some anime.
There's something from Japan related to SOSTA, but in Twitter you type in search for SOSTA, you'll find us. But we're at Cloud Test on Twitter. We also have a good presence on LinkedIn and a Facebook account. So, you know, search SOSTA on LinkedIn or SOSTA on Facebook, and you can keep up with what we're up to. Facebook obviously is kind of the fun stuff, the social stuff that we're up to. And then we link articles and information, and we're actually building a lot more groups and other things on the LinkedIn pages related to SOSTA as well. So lots of ways to stay updated.
Yeah, and so if and of course if people do want to get on board before the conference, if they're looking to get certified in cloud test, you can visit the SOSTA.com website and get Cloud Test Lite and get familiar with it and get up to speed with that. That trial is still valid, I think.
Yeah,
been going for the whole history of cloud tests as I've known it. And that'll be really cool. Awesome. Well, Brad, thanks again very much for joining STP Radio. It'll be great to see you in San Diego.
For sure. Thank you, Mark, for having me again.
Thank you for listening to another episode of STP Radio. As your host, it's my pleasure to bring these intriguing and engaging conversations to assist you in your quest to become a better software tester. Please be aware that this podcast is a production of the Software Test Professionals Organization and is copyrighted and protected via the Creative Commons Share with Attribution non-derivative licensing. For more information, please visit www.softwaretestpro.com. On behalf of myself and the entire STP community, please share this podcast with your fellow testers and developers and managers. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us on the next episode of STP Radio.